are welcome to the Rohi Word. You are about to be transformed by the power of God's Word through His servant, Pastor Emmanuel Mephel. Pastor Mephel is a teaching evangelist who preaches God's Word passionately with signs and wonders following. He serves as the founder and lead pastor of the Rohi Church, a Christ-centered, family-focused, and discipleship-driven ministry. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, let us hear the Word of God.
So the one, I talked about compensation. The two, I talked about desperation. The three, my brother spoke about ago. Don't stop. Ago. You know, very powerful. Tonight, I want to just move in a certain direction for just a few minutes. The message is long, but I would cut it very short so that we go straight to the point. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 3, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3, and I'm reading to verse 7. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. So you realize that Elkanah went out or went up from his city to the church or for a program or for Tamam. And he went and he did two things every year. He went yearly and he went to worship and sacrifice. Today you have worship. So when it comes to sacrifice, don't shake yourself that, hey, I didn't understand that there was worship and there's sacrifice. The man always went every year, worship and sacrifice. Don't ever go for any conference just to worship. Amen? Don't go for any service just to worship. It works together, worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Continue. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. Continue. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. So you realize from the verse 3, or the first verse I just read, was that every year, these people were making the journey. Every year, they were going. Every year, they were going. Every year, they were going. And nothing was happening. Every year you are going for Tamam. Every day you are going to Sunday church service. Every week you are going for a program. Every month you are going for something. Every day you are sending an application. Every day you are saying, I love you to your wife. Every day you are, all the things that you are doing, it doesn't seem to be working. Hannah had been in that position before. Every year they were going to Shiloh. They were doing two things every year. They go there to worship and to sacrifice. But nothing was happening to her. They will go there, worship and sacrifice. Nothing, no breakthrough. You have given, you have worshipped, you have sacrificed every year. But when we ask you what has happened, it's almost like nothing has happened. We look at your life and it's like, I am crawling. I am marking time. The speed I want to see, I'm not seeing. The place I want to get to, I'm not getting there. The rate at which I want to move, I'm not moving. The things I want to experience, I'm not experiencing. What I want to encounter in my life, I'm not encountering. Anything that I have dreamt about before, it only remains in a dream. And it was the same thing that was happening to Hannah. And every time she goes, the Bible says that her rival was making fun of her. And sometimes that's what happens. Every year, I am serving God. I am believing God. I am waiting upon God. I am calling upon God. I am going for program. I am praying. I am fasting. They say 14 days, I am doing it. 7 days, I'm doing it. 3 days, I'm doing it. They say without water, I'm doing it. With water, I'm doing it. With fruits, I'm doing it. Without fruits, I'm doing it. With kokonte, I'm doing it. Every type of fast that they have talked about, I have done some. And then I move to 40 days. I move to 70 days. I move to 90 days. Recently, I saw one, 119 days. I don't know where it came from, but some people were doing 119 days. I'm sure it's biblical for them. But you see, people have done all of these things, and you look at your life, and I'm saying that, wait a minute. I have done it, but I'm not seeing anything. Hannah did it. Elkanah went. Hannah went with the wives, with the rivals, with other people. Every year, the Bible says she goes and comes. The husband goes and comes. The rival goes and comes. And then they go and do sacrifices and worship. They don't go and gossip. You know, some people go to church to gossip. They don't go and gossip. They don't go and watch. They don't go and look at things. They go and worship and they go and sacrifice. They are involved. So sometimes you ask yourself that, why is it that those who are involved, people who are giving their time, people who are giving their money, people who are giving their effort, people who are sacrificing and worshiping and serving God, nothing seems to be happening? Well, let me tell you, you are not the first, you were not the first, and you are not going to be the last. Hannah had that same problem. For years, she was going. Then her husband had the nerve to tell her that, am I not worth more than 10 sons to you? That was the compensation. So the husband was telling her that God has compensated you. And sometimes we accept the fact that God has compensated us. Even though we are waiting for too long, we are doing all the things, but we are not seeing it. So we accept the little thing that happens as our compensation for the wait. Then Hannah says that, you know what? I'll be compensated, but that's not enough for me. I need to move to the next level. And so we got to a point where we realized that Hannah became desperate and began to operate with desperation. And we saw that when she became desperate, the Bible says her lips moved, but nobody heard her voice. And we understood that when somebody becomes desperate, it is action that we see. We don't hear words. We just see action. And people have not become desperate. So we hear a lot of talking. We hear a lot of noise. Immediately you become desperate. You stop talking. You begin to act. And we begin to see your action. So Hannah got to the point where she became desperate. She became so desperate that she was now speaking with her mouth. In her heart, she was speaking. Her mouth was moving, but no words were heard. Then the prophet spoke to her that, you are drunk. She became very, very unpredictable. When you are desperate, you are unpredictable. People cannot follow you. People cannot tell where you are going. People cannot tell what you are going to do next. Today, when something happens, you can get angry. Tomorrow, that same thing happens and you are smiling. And people are wondering, what happened? What changed? You are unpredictable. Desperate people are unpredictable people. Don't be too predictable. Otherwise, people would be able to read you and mess up your program, mess up your plans, mess up everything that you are thinking about. So Hannah got to the point of desperation. Push the desperation for a point to a point. And then just as we said 2 days ago, you must get to the point of desperation, because at the point or the place of desperation, your excitement level is high. It is easier for you to push yourself into the Tamam region, because when people get desperate, they do desperate things. Desperate people are not easy to please. Desperate people are unstoppable people. Desperate people are people who cannot understand things easily. I am desperate. If you are carrying a baby, I talked about it. If you go to the labor ward and you see women who are carrying babies that are due and they have to push the baby out, it is a point of desperation. At that point of desperation, if you don't push the baby and you are thinking about your face, when I'm pushing, my face will not look nice. You are not desperate. You are almost dying. When I'm pushing, I will sweat. You are not desperate. My makeup, you are not desperate. My clothing, you are not desperate. The way I want to be able to comport myself, you are not desperate. When you get desperate, there is no self-compulsion. There's nothing that you do. You just want the baby out. How the baby will come, you don't care. Who is there, you don't care. What time it is, you don't care. How many people have surrounded you, you don't care. Whether it's a hospital, or it's under a tree, or it's in a taxi, or in a church, all you say is that the baby is coming. I need to push. It is desperation. So I can see a lot of Christians who are not desperate, and yet they are looking for the blessing, and yet they are waiting for Tamam, and yet they want to see God's hand. They want to see a certain manifestation. Those kind of manifestation, it doesn't come to happy Christians. It doesn't come to relaxed Christians. It doesn't come to settled Christians. It comes to desperate Christians who can hold on to an angel and have a warfare with an angel and tell the angel that, if you don't bless me, you are not going anywhere. If you don't change my destiny, you are not going anywhere. If you don't bless me to finish well, you are not going anywhere. And the angel said that,
day is breaking. It is becoming day. The light is coming. Let me go. The man says that, look, I told you before and I'm telling you again. If you don't bless me, you are not going anywhere. When will you get to the point where you will talk to an angel and tell the angel in your dream, you tell the angel in your prayer, you tell the angel in your house, you tell the angel on your prayer bed, you tell the angel on your prayer altar that, hey, Lord, I came tonight for a blessing, and until you bless me, until I feel the touch, until I feel the anointing on my head, until I feel the turnaround, I am not letting you go. You will bless me before you go. When will you do that? Till you do that, stop talking about Tamar. Desperation. So Hannah pushed you to the level of desperation. And we talked about it. We exhausted it. We saw people who moved in desperation. We saw blind Bartimaeus. We saw the centurion. We saw the woman with the issue of blood. We saw all of them. That none of them entered their tamam, got into their breakthrough without desperation. So if you are looking for your breakthrough, get desperate. Stop being pretty. Stop being nice. Stop being handsome. Stop wearing your coat and getting yourself serious that I don't want to sweat. I don't want to shout. I don't want to be dirty. I don't want my neighbor. Your neighbors don't even know you pray at dawn. As for me, you know, God hears the prayer of a righteous man. So whether I shout or not, even Jesus shouted sometimes when he was praying. You are not desperate. Go and see the labor ward. I keep using the labor ward. Go and see them. Go and see the women who are there. You will not see any woman who is just smiling as she's pushing. Smiling and pushing. My hand in my pocket, I'm pushing. My hand on my waist, I'm pushing. I am relaxed, I'm pushing. Give me orange juice as I'm pushing. Hey, let me be on social media as I text and I'm pushing. Hey, I'm putting it on video. You are not serious. You are not serious. You are not serious. You are not desperate. You are not looking for a miracle. You are not looking for tamam. Tamam doesn't happen to jokers. It doesn't happen to sleepers. It doesn't happen to sleepers. It doesn't happen to relaxation people. It happens to desperate people, mad people, people who are ready to tear things into pieces, people who are ready to face the devil face to face, people who are ready to shout at the enemy, people who are ready to fight with angels, people who are ready to hold God and say that you are not going anywhere until you say something to me. And those people are not normal people. We are too normal. We are so normal that every little temptation we have left it. Small temptation, I'm gone. Small offense, I'm gone. You are not desperate. You are like a woman carrying a baby who has entered the labor ward. It's about to push the baby. The nurse says, now when him time say, what the hell they have? And the woman says, you know what? I am offended. I won't give birth again. I'm carrying my baby. You are dying. You are dying. And most of our church members, not in the Roy Church, but all other churches, they are dying because they cannot handle a little fire, a little heat, a little respect, a little shouting, a little disrespect, a little dishonor, a little correction, a little correction. I'm offended. You are like a woman carrying, maybe you don't even carry anything. No, you are not carrying. If you are carrying something, if you are carrying something, you'll be looking for a labor ward. If you are carrying something, you'll be looking for a midwife. If you are carrying something, you'll be looking for a doctor. If you are carrying something, you'll be looking for a place where they pull things out. But because you carry nothing, when you go to a place where they want to pull the baby out, you are like, you are disturbing me because you carry nothing. Stop disturbing pastors that you carry something. You carry nothing. If you are carrying something, you will not be running around. People who carry things, they don't just run around. They enter the... And the taxi driver has offended me. So I will not push the baby. Huh? You are carrying nothing. You are carrying nothing. I have not seen one before. But the reason why you get so offended and you are not desperate is because you carry nothing and you kid yourself, you fool yourself, you tell yourself stupid stories that, you know, the thing that I'm carrying, if they knew, they'll respect me. You yourself, you don't even have respect for yourself. You are useless. You have no respect for yourself. If you had a little respect for yourself, you will know that the person who is trying to pull the baby out is rather helping you. No, there are too many weaklings who are looking for God to bless them. God doesn't bless weak people. God doesn't bless tired people. God doesn't bless people who don't have energy. God doesn't bless people who cannot stay, tarry. Look at Elijah. He was blessed for tarrying. Go again. Go and check it. One, I didn't see anything. Go number two. And all this time he was praying. Go the third time. He was praying. Go the fourth time. He was praying. God blesses people who cannot stop, who are not people who can just give up easily. You must go crazy. That is why we are going to Unstoppable 2021. You want to be blessed, become unstoppable. Moses went to Pharaoh first time. Pharaoh says, I won't allow. Second time, I won't allow. Third time, if it was another Christian here, Lord, the thing is not working, I won't do it again. 10 times he went before he saw the breakthrough. 7 times the servant went before he saw the breakthrough. You do one, two. I'm tired. You are not desperate. You are not desperate. So I talked about desperation. The spirit of desperation is upon me so strongly that if I don't move on, I will finish this conference back to desperation. Because without desperation, you can't move. And people are stuck. People are stuck. They are stuck on level one because they have settled on the compensation. It is so comfortable and easy to operate on compensation. But if you want tamam, get desperate. If you want more, get desperate. If you want more, get angry. If you want more, get relentless. So when you meet a man of God or a leader, a pastor, a CEO, a manager who is pushing you to want more, that man, you must love him. That man, you must honor him. That man, he loves you and he wants the best for you. But we are so blind. So when you meet people who are, I've heard many people, hey, your church is nice, so I would like to come to your church, but your pastor, I give too much pressure. That is why you can't pay your rent. You don't want pressure. That's why you can't pay your rent. No, you sit with me for 2 years and you soak my pressure and you work with my pressure. You will not have to pay rent again. No, you will live in your own household. No, it's the grace that's upon my life. And I have testimonies. I have too many testimonies. Not just here, but before I came. Too many testimonies. If you can soak my pressure for 2 years and work with it, you will not be a tenant. If you can soak my pressure for 2 years and work with it, you will employ people. If you can soak my pressure for 2 years and work with it, you will become higher than what you are now. The reason why you are where you are is because you are dealing with people who are not desperate to see you do well. My desperation, when I drive in and I see my people, my heart, I said, God, this is not the vision you gave me. This is not the vision you gave me. So it is the pictures that are in my heart that drives me crazy, that causes me to be desperate. You got to become desperate to be able to run with a desperate person. Look, I did not get here by sleeping, drinking, relaxing. I got here by desperation. I said, God, you have to change my life. If you don't change my life, I don't know what I'm going to do. I came from a family where we needed help. We needed God's hand. We needed a breakthrough. And it was not time for me to now come and relax. I had to break so that people can run. You are sitting down. You don't want to break. You don't want to think about anybody because you can buy kinky. Desperation. Look, my desperation is very high. I am too desperate. Hey, I'm a desperate man. A very, very desperate man. I don't sleep. I don't relax. I'm always on the move. I am a desperate man. What I want to see, I've not seen. I can't relax. And I know I'll see it. I said, I know I'll see it. And what you want to see, you will see it too. So, Hannah entered into the face of desperation. And then, after pushing the desperation for some time, she realized that I need to do one more thing. I need to do one more thing. And that one thing is what I'm going to share with you for a few minutes, and I'll release you to go. One more thing that she had to do. At that point, she realized that, you know what? I have seen. I have heard. I have handled. I have been in and I've been out. I've been in, I've been out. I have done the prayer. I've done the sacrifice. I've done all the things that they are talking about. I've worshipped and all that. I've been desperate. But there's one thing that I have to do. I had to take a decision. Tonight, I'm talking about decision. I'm talking about what? Tell somebody, take a decision. Decide to take a decision. Are you here? Decide to take a decision. So Hannah realized that, you know what? I have seen all of this. Now I have to take a decision. A decisive person is an achiever. A person who cannot make a decision is a useless person. I mean, you ask the person, what will you eat or anything? Which job? You are carrying your CV. You have asked somebody, I need a job. Which job? Any job. Where do you want to live? Anywhere. Even evil spirits, they have a choice. They make decision. They go around. After you have cast them out, they go around, walk around, and come back and check if the place is garnished and clean. Then they come back with seven stronger demons. You, where do you want to live? Anywhere. What do you want to do? Anything. Who do you want to marry? Any man. A person who cannot make decisions is a useless person. Can never achieve anything. There are certain decisions that you must make in this life. I'm not going to talk about all of them, but I'm just talking about one decision that she had to make. One decision that she made. One decision. One decision. 1 Samuel 1:11. One decision that she made. Verse 11. Give me verse 11. Quickly. One decision. And that decision, everybody must make it. Everybody must make it. Everybody must make it. 1 Samuel 1:11. Then she made a vow. That was her decision. After the prayer, after the worship, after the sacrifice, after everything had happened, the Bible says she made a vow, because the woman had been going every year, fasted, prayed, just like you. You have been every year. You have prayed every day. You have done everything. You have done it all this while. Nothing was happening for her, and nothing has happened for you. So she decided, you know what? I'm going to do this one. I have taken a decision that I'm going to move to the next level. You must take a decision. Without a decision, you are not going anywhere. Without a decision, no, a man who is not married at 30 is not money. It's a person who is not just making decisions. Because Adam and Eve didn't marry with money. It is just decision. Make a decision. You sell land and you have not got a land. You are a useless person. It's just a decision. It is a decision. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant. And everybody who is thinking about this thing that I'm talking about has some affliction. Affliction. You have your affliction. It could be money. It could be job. It could be marriage. It could be relationship. It could be ministry. But there's some affliction. Everybody has one. It could even be your child. Could be your child who is always misbehaving. There's an affliction. There is an affliction. It could be your church that grows and goes down. It grows and goes down. There is an affliction somewhere. Look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me. And not forget your maidservant. But will give your maidservant a male child. That was her tamam. My tamam is to get a male child. I have been here every year. I need a male child. The only way I can know I have finished well is if I can get a male child. So Hannah was like, you know what? I have got a husband who is like 10 sons. I've got a rival who has given me children. But I just need a male child from my own womb. If I can get a male child, that is my tamam. That is my finished well. That is my completion. That is my complete. If I can get that one. If I can get that. A male child. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. So I'm not even looking for a male child for myself. I am not looking to hit my tamam because of me. I'm not looking at becoming blessed and wealthy because of myself. I'm not looking at having a child because I want a child for myself. I'm not looking at building a house because I want a house for myself. I am not looking at getting my tamam because I want something for myself. He said that if you will give me a male child, I will give him to the Lord. All the, not some of the days, not part of the days, not for a few days, not for a short while. All the days of his life, I am donating the child. All I want is the honor of carrying a child, is the honor of pushing out a baby, but I don't want to keep it. All I want is the honor of a husband. All I want is the honor of a good job. All I want is the honor of money, but I don't want to keep it. I don't want to show off. I don't want to do any big thing. I just want to have it so I can give you. I just want to have it so that I can donate her. I just want to have it so that it will be at your disposal. How many times have you prayed just because you want something for yourself and you expect it to happen? You have not taken a right decision. Your decision must be vowing on something that you are looking for, just to bless the kingdom of God, just to bless the King of Kings, just to make him happy. If my child comes to me that I need money, and she tells her siblings that I'm going to collect money from the old man, and then they ask her, what is the money for? And she says that the man's birthday is coming and I don't have money, so I need money so that I can buy a present for him. Do you think that when I get to know that reason, I will tell her I won't give her? I will give her and add more, because I know that as the money is going, it is for my own good that is going. When God identifies in your heart that what you are looking for as your tamam, it is to his glory, it's to his honor, it is to his name, he will stop holding back. The reason why there has been a hold back is because of your selfishness. It's because you don't have a mind for God. You don't have a heart for the kingdom. You don't have a mind for the things of God. All you want is money to please yourself. All you want is a husband that you can also walk around and say that, me too, I'm married. All you want is a wife that you can also say that, have you checked my wife out? All you want is a child so that you can also say that, you are a joker. God cannot be mugged. What is your reason? Why are you looking for the tamam? Where do you want to get to with the tamam? And when the tamam comes, where are you taking it to? So Hannah was too wise. Hannah was too strategic. If you read chapter 2 verse 22, let me show you something. Chapter 2 verse 22, her strategy worked perfectly. It talks about the fact that And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons. And two. Listen to me. She only wanted what? 1. But the motive was that. That one, I want it for you. I am not looking for a child to carry on my back and to be happy. I want the child. I will nurse the child. When the child is about 4, 5, I will drop the child in church and I'll turn my back. The only time I'll see the child is when I come once a year to worship and sacrifice. Then I'll check on Samuel. Samuel, are you okay? Is everything fine? I love you, my child. God bless you. And then I leave my child. How many mothers are willing to do that? How many people are looking to drop their blessing in the church? How many people are willing to drop their blessing in the kingdom? How many people are looking for tamam so that they will do something for God? How many people are looking for their tamam to be connected to the things of God? You are looking for tamam, but your mind for the tamam is to spite your neighbor, is to spite your neighbor, is to tell your neighbor that I serve a God who provides, but you don't have anything. You are a joker. I said you are a joker. Hannah was so smart. She made the decision to make a vow. And then she made the vow and she tied the hands of God. She tied the hands of God and said that, you know what? If you do this and you do this and you do this and you give me this child, I will drop the child in church. That child will be yours forever. I don't want a child again. Once you give it to me, the child is yours forever. I'll give him to you, a male child. So God answered. God answered. And then she also delivered what she had said. And then after that, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. He only wanted 1 son. Now she has three sons aside Samuel. They didn't count Samuel because Samuel was not hers. When will you look for a blessing? Because you don't want it. Are you listening to him? I am looking for a blessing because I don't want it. I'm looking for a blessing because my pastor needs it. I'm looking for a blessing because the kingdom needs it. I remember when I was about to start business and I was supposed to be going for camp meetings. I was a pastor. I was supposed to go for camp meetings. I was supposed to go for conferences. I was supposed to go for conventions. And so I sat down with my wife. One day, we had to lie. There were times we had to lie. We had to say that we are not well. We had to say that we are going somewhere. All because we didn't have a business of our own. So one day we're driving and then we lifted our hands unto God and we said, Father, if you can bless us with a business. If you can only bless us with a business, we are going to give everything to you. We are going to give our time to you. We are going to give our resources to you. Our energy is yours. Everything that comes into the business is yours, apart from the one that goes to the government. Everything comes to you. And God looked upon our heart and realized that these people are speaking the truth from their heart. And so he said that, take this business. I took a business that I have never gone to school to learn. I took a business I have never been trained. I took a business I've never seen before, and God raised the business to a point where I decided now I can do this work and the business would also do its own thing. Anytime God realizes that you are looking for a blessing that you don't want, he gives it to you. But when you want the blessing for yourself, mind you, God cannot be mocked. Why are you looking for the blessing? I don't want it. That's why I'm looking for it. I don't want it. I don't want it for myself. I want it for the kingdom. I want it for the church. I want it for the ministry. I want it for my neighbor. I want it for the next door neighbor. I want it for the community. Hey! There was a day I woke up in the morning. A man of God called me. We spoke. And then he said that, you know what? Start prayer. Prayer for the community. I said, prayer for the community. But I am not the community pastor. He said, start the prayer for the community. I organized my pastors. I said, every morning we are here, we are praying for the community. Every morning we are here, we are praying for the community. Initially it was difficult, but by the grace of God, it started running. I said, it started running. It started running because I am not looking for something for myself. The blessing is not something I want for me. I am doing it because God needs it. When will you start chopping? Stop chasing your tamam for yourself and start chasing the tamam because God wants it. God cannot be mocked. You can't mock him. So the prayer you are praying, Father, if you give it to me, if you give it to me, if you give it to me, is not from your heart. Stop it. 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 Look, people get the opportunity to be a blessing to God and they turn their back on God and say that, share 10 cities. 10 cities a day. Why do we give it to God? And God is sitting now saying that, I just wanted a seed. You just saw that. You just missed out on a blessing. You just missed out on an open door. You just missed out on an opportunity. I just wanted a seed so that I can blow it out of proportion for you. Because all this while, you have not been given the opportunity to sow a seed. And I realize that if you sow a seed, it will change your destiny. Seed time is change time. So if you can sow a seed, I will change your destiny. And since you didn't have a seed, I organized your church to give you seed so that you can be blessed. And yet you looked upon the church, you looked upon the 10 cities and said, sorry, I won't give that seed. That is the reason why sometimes you pray, you seek God, you ask for whatever, it doesn't happen. Your mother is not a witch. Your father is not a wizard. Your background is not evil. You are the problem. You are the problem. You are the cause of your poverty. You are the cause of your backwardness. You are the cause of everything that you are carrying. Stop blaming your mother. Stop blaming your mother. Listen to me. The message I came to preach has changed. The message has changed. This is not the message I was supposed to be preaching. The message has changed. And that's why I'm going the way I'm going. Are you in the church? Stop looking for your tamam. for your self-aggrandizement. I want to hit Tamar so that me too, I will drive for them to see that me too, I have a car. You will struggle. You will struggle. You will struggle. Look, if you know us very well, my managers will tell you that a lot of the things that I have, I don't want. I don't want. I don't want. It's not like I need them, I want it, I'm chasing it. No, no, no. There are things that come. They come. They come. They come. Not because we want something to just self-aggrandize or to feel good and to feel big and to feel pompous. No, 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 no. If you see us looking for something, it is to honor God. If you see us looking for something, it is to honor God. If you see us pushing for something, it is to honor God. And so when we pray for our tamam, we are asking that, Father, give us so that we give it back unto you, because we have no need of it now. Not that we have no need of it. We have need for it, but you have it more. God needs it more. God needs it more. God needs it more. God needs the money more than you do. God needs God. And you see, what happened to Hannah should be a lesson to us. She released one, and God gave her five. She released one. God gave her five. But it all started with a vow. It all started with a vow. When the fight gets difficult, when the fight gets terrifying, when the fight gets so difficult that you are not sure where you are going, when you have done your compensation and you have also done your desperation and you have gone around and you are seeing that, Charlie, where am I going? And the man of God says, don't stop, and you are not stopping, and things are still not happening. One of the things that you need to now do is to take a decision that, you know what, I'm going to vow a vow. I'm going to vow a vow. I need to do a vow. Look, it happened to Jephthah. Jephthah was the son of a prostitute. Let me put it that way. And he had been cast out of home and the city. Out. You don't belong here. We don't need you. We don't want you. So he was out there with unwanted outlaws. And then the people went into struggle. And then they needed a fighter. They needed someone who would fight for them. Jephthah had been cast out. Jephthah had been thrown away. Jephthah had no glory, no honor, no, nothing. But this is an opportunity for Jephthah to shine. So Jephthah says that, you know what? This thing that they are asking me for, my energy cannot do it. My resources cannot do it. My power cannot do it. I cannot fight. I cannot do much. But if I can pull in the weapon, there's a weapon, if I pull it in now, it will change my destiny. It will change my testimony. It will change my life. It will change my story. So Jephthah says that, know what? Lord, he spoke to the people. Are you going to make me your leader? Are you going to make me your head? Are you going to make me a king? Are you going to put me in charge if I lead you and I win? They said, we'll put you wherever you want. So he goes back to God. Says that, God, you heard these people. You heard the thing that they said. This is my time to shine. This is my time to change my life. This is my time for glory. This is my time for power. This is my time for upliftment. And I see somebody, this is your time for upliftment. This is your time for glory. This is your time for the blessing. This is your time for the breakthrough. This is your time for a turnaround. People are going to come looking for you from wherever you are. People are coming to you from wherever you are. People are looking for you. Those who turn down your job, they are coming back to call you. Those who turn your contract down, they are coming back for you. Those who turn down the marriage proposal, they are coming back for you. Those who turn down the appointment, they are coming back for you. They are coming back. They are coming back. I said they are coming back. They are coming back. They are coming back. I can hear footsteps. I can hear footsteps of an army coming. They are coming to look for you. 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 Get ready. You will meet them. They will come to your house. They will call you. Your phone will begin to ring. They will come looking for you. Is this Ajua? Is this Peter? Is this John? Is this Emmanuel? Are you the one who applied for this contract? I remember you applied for the contract about 4 years ago, and then we didn't give it to you. Are you still interested? You say, yes, I am, but I am not sure. Then they will say, we beg you. I want you to come for a meeting. This is the time that they will be negotiating with you. They will be calling upon you. They will be asking you. It is your time to shine. Jephthah, his time to shine came. Jephthah, cast away. Jephthah, thrown out. Jephthah, walked out of town. Jephthah, they said, we don't need you here. You are an outcast. Your mother doesn't have any property or rights here. Get out. Now they want someone to fight. And Jephthah is the one that they go for. And Jephthah says that, you know what? Me, I know you people. Before I go and fight, let's share something clearly. Are you going to make me your head if we win? They say, yes. Are you going to be make me the king? Yes. Are you going to be in charge? Yes. He says, okay, now we can go. Then he goes to God and says, God, you have heard. You have seen. This is my time to shine. Now, what I want to do is that I want to employ the weapon of a vow. I want to pull in the weapon of a vow. I know that my prayer will not do much. I know that my fasting cannot do much. I know that my prayer and worship cannot do much. I know that all the sacrifice will not do much. But I know that you are a God who understands vows. You are a God who understands blood. You are a God who understands sacrifice. You are a God who understands seed sowing. I came to you tonight. This morning, this afternoon, tonight, I came to tell you, God, that if only you will give me the victory when I return, anything that comes out of my gate, that thing is yours. Anything that comes out of my gate is yours. God said, yeah, this is how I operate. This is how I operate. When you pull the weapon of a vow, you have pulled something that I can't resist and reject. He says, you know what? I would make sure you win. God accompanied Jephthah to the battlefield. The people were beaten, killed, messed up. Jephthah came up tops. And then when he pretended, he was coming down, coming down, coming down, coming down, coming down. The daughter heard that my father is coming. The daughter just rushed out of the gate to come and meet her father. Jephthah says, my daughter, you have killed me. My daughter, you have killed me. My daughter, you have killed me. You have killed me. You have killed me. You have killed me. Even though I have made this battle useless, even though I've won this battle, I have overcome the people, but your coming out has killed me, because I used the person coming out to be a vow, and once I have given God my word, I cannot turn back from it. Same application Jacob used the same application. Jacob has stolen his brother's blessing, had taken over from his brother. His brother comes. I have the verses. I'm not going there, but you know the story. His brother comes and says, Papa, I have come. He says, what? Who was the one who came here? He said, Esau, your son, I have come. He said, no. I have given your blessing to your brother already. He said, isn't there anything left for me? The man says, no, you serve your brother. So he leaves the presence of the father, angry. Somebody has stolen my blessing. I'm going to kill this person. I'm going to destroy him. And many people are looking for you to destroy you. Many people are looking at your life that you are not happy with, and they want to destroy you. They are looking at your life that you are not excited about. They want to destroy you. They are looking at your life that you think that you are struggling. They want to destroy you. They think that you have taken their blessing. Some people look at the wife you have and they think that this woman should have married me. Some people look at the children you have and they say that these children should have been my children. I'm telling you, there are people. I remember a story I heard recently. A lady who became pregnant and then went to her family house and announced her pregnancy, was asleep one day. Went to the hospital. They showed the scan. The baby was there. Was asleep. Triplets. Triplets. As she was sleeping in the dream, she saw three old ladies. They have come. They said that we are coming to carry the baby for safekeeping. She woke up, went to the hospital, scan, zero. Some people are sitting somewhere. They feel that the blessing that you are carrying, you are not supposed to be carrying it. I did some deliverance in the other hall a few years ago. As I was praying for the girl, a manifestation came. Me mani worry. I said, why? Now no. Mimi banning worry and no person worry. I said, really? Because your daughter is not mine. So you think that she does not deserve the blessing? Look, there are so many people like that. You may think that everybody is happy with you. Everybody is happy with your blessing. Some people are sitting somewhere and they are angry with your blessing. They think that you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. They deserve it. And the same thing was happening to Esau. Esau was chasing Jacob. I will kill him. He doesn't deserve the blessing. But Esau had forgotten that as children, he handed over the blessing. As children, he handed over the blessing. He gave him the birthright. So Jacob was running. Got to a place. Fell down and slept. Saw revelation. Woke up and said that this thing that I am going and run away from, it will kill me. Let me pull out the weapon of a vow. Let me pull out the weapon of a vow. I need to change my destiny. I need to change up my life. Said that, God, if you will take me where I'm going, you will protect me. You will do this. You will do that. You will do this. You will do that. Everything I get, a tenth of it is coming to you. God said, Charlie, you ain't got no problem. It's a deal. We'll sort it out. Jacob, we talk about him all the time. One of the secrets to the things that we discuss about Jacob is the power of the vow. It's the vow that he made. Hannah, vow. Jephthah, vow. Let me read one verse for you and then I'll finish. One verse in Job. Job chapter 22 verse 27. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you. And then it says, you will pay your vows. Wait there. 27, I'll show you something. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you. You will make your prayer. He will hear you. And you pay your vows. After you have paid your vows, go to 28. After you have paid your vows, you will also declare. After you have paid your vows, you don't pray. Are you understanding me? Before you paid your vows, you had to pray. And he will answer. You have to pray and he will answer. But it says that after paying the vow, you will declare a thing. He doesn't have to answer. Because after you have paid the vow, your level has been elevated. So now you are at a kingly anointing level where you make decrees and declarations. So you will declare a thing and it will be established for you. The thing that you people have been talking every time, you know, Job chapter 22 verse 28, you will also declare a thing. What have you done before you are declaring? What have you done before you are declaring? Every time we will declare a thing and it will be established for you. How many times have you been declaring and what has been established? I declare my marriage, nothing. I declare my house, nothing. I declare my business, nothing. I'll declare my job, nothing. You have declared and declared and declared, nothing is happening. Because you have not put in the thing well. He says that You pray, he will answer. You pay your vow. You see, it is King James that has put the thing with numbers. But originally, they are letters. Do you write letters with numbers? No. There are letters, there are stories that is written without numbers. So with originally, without the number, you would read that you pay your vow. You will also declare a thing. You pay your vow. Then after you have paid your vow, you declare a thing. Tonight, what I want you to do, it says that you pay your vow, you will also declare a thing. And it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. I need people who tonight will get into a certain vow relationship with God. I am not talking about vow relationship with me or the Rohi Church or the pastor or anything. Get it with God. Because Jacob did it with God. Hannah did it with God. Jephthah did it with God. Don't do it with a man. Because it's between you and God. The vow is between you and God. Forget about man. Forget about your husband. Forget about your wife. Forget about your son. Forget about your daughter. Forget even about yourself and what you have. It's a vow between you and God. And there must be a sacrifice. And once the sacrifice comes, there's a result. The message is too much. I can't even preach it. You will also declare a thing. It will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. Not on your way. On your ways. So if it is business way, light will shine. Marital way, light will shine. Academic way, light will shine. Ministry way, light will shine. Whichever way, light will shine. Because you have done the vow, you will declare it. You'll be established. Verse 29. I finished. Stand to your feet. Verse 29. Verse 29. When they cast you down and you say, exaltation will come, then he will save the humble person. So when they cast you down, no, you see, after the vow, declaration song, declaration, you declare a thing and then it will be done. It will be established for you and then light will be on your ways. And when they cast you down and you say, exaltation will come. When they cast you down, you say, after you have made your vow, when they cast you down, you say, exaltation must come and it will come. Most of the things that we have done, we have worked with vows. Vows. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. Because it's not all the time. Look, a vow even shortens the prayer time. 6 hours. We are tired. When it comes to the weapon of vows, yenkasanche. And because I am a very busy man, I'm a businessman, so I'm very busy. So I don't have time all the time to do long hiboshaya. No. Many times, sir. There are too many things one must be doing. So you spend 1, 2, 3 hours waiting upon God for things that people must enter. Things that things must move. Not prayer for food. Prayer for food. Prayer for where you stay, where you, all those ones. No, a vow. Release a vow. Father, if you can do this and do this and take care of this one for me too, this one is yours. In the name of Jesus, amen. 1 minute, you have finished a very heavy. No, I'm telling you, when Hannah was making the vow, it wasn't 1 hour. Jephthah's vow, it wasn't 1 hour. Jacob's vow, it wasn't 1 hour. Job, 1 hour. No. A vow, straight to the point. Now, more vows now. More person would draw circles around Yamino. That's when you come. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the one who was and is to come. There's nothing that was done without you.
Everything passes before you. Everything passes behind you. Even when the one that goes behind you, you see it. The one that goes. Stop that your prayer. Stop that your prayer. People have prayed better prayers than you. And people are still praying better prayers than you. Find a way of getting God to work quickly. Find a way of getting God to work quickly. Some prayers, No, I'm asking you. Tell me how many of those long prayers have been answered. Tell me how many of those long prayers. Once a while, we bump by, there's a 15 prayer topics. Then quarter one be a bit trim by mistake. When it happens, like, hey, God, no. We want prayer that God answers. Then you know that this one God will answer. Jephthah's own, you can tell that God answered. Jacob, you can tell that God answered. Hannah, you can tell that God answered. Show me five of your prayers that have been answered since you became a Christian 20 years ago. Only five gracious prayers that you went to the mountains 1 week. That when you came, cried, your landlord was sacking you from the house. Tell me. Because your landlord was looking for. Sometimes the people, they go to the mountains because their landlord was knocking on their door. Papa, he comes at dawn. This week, I'm traveling. Mountain. Indokania, Inkoniana, Ikololo. Nothing. They come back. They have come to put vacate. Which camp prayer you go pray? Begin to pray. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. I want you to make a vow to God. But I'm not going to direct you. I've preached already. So you yourself must know what to do. Talk to God. Talk to God. Just 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. You are just making a vow between you and God. That if you do this one, this is my tamam. This is my tamam. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for. Lord, if only you can just do this for me. Just do it for me. Just do it for me. Just do it for me. It is a man I want to marry. Just do it for me. It is a house I want to build. That one, do it for me. If this house, if this contract, if this job, if you can turn the heart of this my daughter, Lord, I will give you this one. Kandosia, Kandosia.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Emmanuel Methel. We hope you were blessed by the message. Worship with us at the Rohi Church in Community 22, Tema. Every Sunday from 7:30 to 9:30 for the tree service and 10:30 to 12:30 for the English service. We have Bible studies from 9:45 to 10:30 a.m. Tuesday Empowerment Service is from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. Download the Rohi Church app on Google Play and App Store for more life-transforming messages. Follow Pastor Emmanuel Methel and the Rohi Church on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Call us on 0204-336-002 for counseling and inquiry. Rohi Church, loving God, making disciples, and invading globally. God bless you. This message is brought to you by Hot Jobs Africa Limited, Ghana's number one HR firm. Looking for quality staff? Looking for a job? Contact us on 0204-336-009. Think HR, think Hot Jobs Africa.